Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
The federal government does not have the power to order people to buy health insurance. But the federal government does have the power to impose a tax on those without health insurance. That was the opinion written by Chief Justice John Roberts in his majority opinion. Surprising, I think, a lot of people. I think the pundits were really confident that particularly the mandate portion of the health care reform law would be found unconstitutional. Not true. Affordable Care Act does not impose a true legal mandate on Americans. It requires those who don't have insurance to pay a tax penalty. And that, says the majority of the United States Supreme Court, is constitutional. There are some questions about the expansion of Medicaid and how that impacts states' rights. So there's a lot on the table here. This is a fairly momentous decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. I've heard some compare it to one of the most important decisions since FDR's reign during his New Deal days in the mid-30s. So there's so many nuances to this, so many things that so many of us just don't understand. The general consensus, when I've spoken with people, and I'll be totally candid with you, I wasn't jumping up and down at the mandate. I think the president overreached in that aspect of it, so it wasn't my favorite part of the Health Care Reform Act. But when you look at what else was put on the table, you know, in terms of pre-existing conditions, in terms of young adults being allowed to stay on their parents' health insurance until they are 26 years of age, what it does for small business owners, what it does for doctors and other care providers. I think that overall, people will come to genuinely appreciate what's been done here. I think the mandate is always, I think that is going to be a major sticking point. Right now, we're going to talk with the Washington State Insurance Commissioner, Mike Kreidler, joins me here on Newsline PM. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well, Ken. Thank you.
Boy, I'll bet you're doing some cartwheels, bud.
I'm feeling a lot better right now. I mean, we've been working our tails off implementing health care reform. We've got tight timelines in order to bring in the rest of the reforms, the major ones coming in 2014. But it means that we don't have that cloud hanging over our head as to what the Supreme Court could do. But we didn't have the opportunity or to even slow down. We had to keep going at full tilt, or we weren't going to meet those timelines. And so, yeah, I'm feeling a lot more comfortable now, less anxious, but at the same time, it vindicates all of the work we've been doing up to this point to make sure we do best by Washingtonians.
What specific impact will this have on those of us who live here in Washington State?
Well, a lot of benefits have already gone into effect for Washingtonians that are very popular with people, such as the coverage of your children up to the age of 26. If you have a child with a medical problem, a health insurer can't deny them coverage. For routine physicals, there are no copays and deductibles that are required as a part of that, so you're encouraged to make sure you do those routine medical tests so they diagnose any chronic disease problems.
Did we lose Mike? Are you
still?
Okay, go. I'm sorry. I thought we lost you there for a minute.
And the expansion of Medicare is also one that for pharmaceutical and drug coverage, they're working diligently right now to begin the process over the next couple of years of closing what is referred to as the donut hole. They cover early, they cover late, but not in between. That's the donut hole. They're closing that. That's already benefiting seniors. These are a lot of the early reforms that are already.
Okay.
January 1st of 2014, that's the big change.
So what specifically, when we're talking about states' rights, and Justice Roberts mentioned this, he said the expansion of Medicaid violates states' rights. Do you interpret that in the same way?
Well, I understand where he was headed. He's looking at right now that we've got the first 3 or 4 years that are going to be paid for by the federal government for the expansion of Medicaid. Those are single adults between the ages of 19 and 64. That's going to be a real financial challenge. I look at the state budget right now. They've had enough problems. What if they have to pick up those charges after the first few years? I think what you'll see is that states will be very much into the program. These are federal dollars for the expansion that helps residents of their state. I don't think there'll be many states that are going to turn their back on federal dollars since there's so few state dollars that are required to receive such a huge benefit, over 90% of it coming from the federal government.
So who will qualify for that? Who will now qualify for Medicaid?
Well, if you're poor, meaning you're below 133% of the federal poverty level, which would mean that you only earn, let's say, $14,000 a year at the maximum, you're going to be below that. You're going to be eligible for the Medicaid program. Above that, you're going to see families and individuals eligible for significant subsidies.
So these are people who would otherwise have fallen through the cracks.
That's right. And they're costs that we are paying for right now. It's not as if these costs are somehow magically paid for by the tooth fairy. We're talking about medical costs that are being incurred in hospital emergency rooms and admissions to hospitals. And any time that happens and nobody's paying the bill except that hospital, those costs are then built into the charges from that hospital, built into our insurance rates. Will have a dramatic impact on the amount of unsubsidized care in the system by virtue of this expansion of the Medicaid program and the subsidies, which will be a major driver for individuals to sign up for health insurance.
You anticipate that this will have any direct impact on health care insurance rates?
It will definitely have an impact. Uncompensated care, it was at least $1 billion here just in the state of Washington of uncompensated care. Maybe, and that was a very conservative number, it could be as much as $2 billion. We're going to see a dramatic reduction in that amount of payment. So it has a true stabilizing impact on the amount of health insurance. For a family of four who do have insurance today, $1,000 a year is what it costs them built into their insurance premiums rates just to pay for people who can't pay their own bill. If we can drop that down, we've done a lot to help stabilize the cost of health insurance for individuals.
So a year from now, 2 years from now, things will have kind of, it's like water seeking its own level. We'll have discerned the nuances of this and seen the implementation of different programs as they come into play at different times. And overall, you really think that this is going to benefit a lot of people.
Well, absolutely, Ken. I'd be the first to say that there's things that I'm not excited about with the Affordable Care Act and think that they need to be changed. But at the same time, this is a real change that was sorely needed. The system was failing us as a country and as a state. We have a chance now of stabilizing it, making it much more predictable. People will be covered, putting more pressure on individuals, make sure they participate in the system so they don't stay out of health insurance until they get sick. That they're helping to pay for it even when they're well. That's right. An important part of insurance.
Gotcha. Mike Kreidler, State Insurance Commissioner, thank you. Your perspective is always so valuable. I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks.
My pleasure, Ken. Right. You take care.
You too. In a moment, we're going to hear from a small business owner and what this means to people like her.
Time to discuss, dissect, and debate the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
And from the other side of the aisle, you had Mitt Romney, who says, hey, look, you know, this is going to put a burden on people. It's going to raise taxes. He says, you know, what the Supreme Court did today was rule on an issue of constitutionality, and that really does not impact how what this means in terms of good policy. Welcome back to Newsline PM on this Thursday afternoon. Joining us is Congressman Dave Reichert. How are you, Dave?
Good, Ken.
I'm going to bet that if you were watching CNN this morning for a few minutes, you were pretty happy. because they seem to have kind of blown things apart with their false reporting. But once you caught up with
you're probably having a downer then.
Oh, right? Yeah, I was extremely dejected. But all kidding aside, this is a momentous day, and it sets up a big political field of debate that's going to probably ensue for the next several months, don't you think?
Yeah, I think if you look, so of course, all the attorneys and the staff and everybody on both sides of the aisle now are furiously going through all the paperwork, attached to this ruling. And I think it's a couple hundred pages I heard in one report. So, it's going to take a while to figure out exactly the meaning of a lot of what they said. But what we've been able to decipher so far, I think most of the public and the media has, is that the first thing that happened was the mandate, individual mandate, was found to be unconstitutional. But the second thing then immediately associated with that decision was that it may not be a mandate, or the mandate is unconstitutional, but under the tax clause, it was found to be a tax. And there's where you're going to hear a lot of political discussion as to whether or not this really indeed is a tax, because the president himself and others on the Democrat side have been voicing strong opinion all the way up until this point, until the point they argued the case in the Supreme Court, that this definitely was not a tax. But the Supreme Court has said today this is a tax. So what it essentially means now, that for all the folks listening today, if you decide not to buy health insurance, you will be taxed. So if you are taxed, then of course you'll have the IRS after you if you don't buy health insurance and you don't pay the tax that's been applied to your inactivity. So you're taxed on your inactivity. The inactivity is not buying health insurance.
So let me ask you this, because one of the things that Mitt Romney put out on the table today, he said, look, if you want to get rid of this health care reform, you're going to have to get rid of President Obama and then put me in. And what the Supreme Court did not do, he would repeal this health care reform. Now, here's the question that I have of you, Dave, is a lot of people are really upset over the mandate aspect of this, but the greater majority of people are happy with the other provisions provided. So how do you cherry pick this? What would be the plan for the House to repeal this? Would it just throw the entire baby out with the bathwater? Or would it try to save elements of the Health Care Reform Act that people do support and appreciate?
So, you are right. There are a number of people, myself included, that like portions of the health care bill, the individual mandate. Of course, was not one of those. But when you talk about pre-existing conditions, when you talk about young people struggling today and them being carried on their parents' insurance for a while, buying across state lines, those are things that a lot of people can agree to. Liability, tax. What am I trying to say here?
For the small businesses, or
no. I'm thinking of frivolous lawsuits.
Oh, I got you.
So those frivolous lawsuits are one of those things that was not included in the bill. So that would be one thing that I would go after. But if you look at really what's happened, Ken, in the last year or so with this bill, especially in the Ways and Means arena. The 1099 requirement, if you recall, was a huge issue right at the beginning. The Democrats fought it desperately and said, look, we have to have this in there. It helps pay for this health care bill. Eventually, what happened is they recognized this was a heavy burden. It essentially was a tax on small business. They voted for a bill. All of us on the Republican side, I think most of us did, voted in favor of this bill, and it passed the House. It passed the Senate, surprisingly, and the president signed that into law. So the 1099 requirement was removed from the health care law through a bipartisan effort. The CLASS Act, if you remember, and others listening hopefully will remember, it was announced by Secretary Sebelius that we can't afford to enact that. And now that's essentially an act. It's a long-term care act.
Short answer to this, Congressman Dave Reichert, is that this is going to shape up to be a continuing battle. I so much appreciate it. I know your time is
yes.
pressed, and I thank you very much for your insight today. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, good talking with you here. In a moment, we'll talk with Congressman Jim McDermott.
This is Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Well, in case you haven't heard, if you've been in a cave somewhere for the past 4 hours, the United States Supreme Court has upheld the health care reform law. 2,700 pages. I was unaware that it was that long, by the way. 2,700 pages. And a lot of the key areas that we've been talking about are more than familiar. I mean, we've been talking about the uninsured mandate. We have been talking about the pre-existing conditions. We've been talking about young people being allowed to stay on their parents' health care insurance plan. I mean, there's a lot of heavy direct impact issues that this health reform has put into play. But there's also other things that I was not aware of. For example, this is built within the health care reform law, somewhere within those pages. Nursing moms can now take reasonable breaks during the workday to express milk. There's more breastfeeding rooms. We've been talking about this over the course of the past couple of months. There's going to be calories made available mandatorily at every major chain restaurant. You're going to know what your doctor's been getting from pharmaceutical companies, and does this impact what you have been prescribed for medication? We've been paying the 10%. I did not know this at all. We have been paying 10% every time people visit a tanning booth, and that's been classified as a carcinogenic to humans. So that's been in play. We have free preventative care, which is meaning we'll have free mammograms, physical exams, colonoscopies, vaccinations. There is a lot within this law that really has not been put on the table. A lot, I think, that myself included, we're just not aware of. So as the days goes on, we'll find out more and more about this. In a moment, we just got finished talking with Congressman Dave Reichert from the conservative side of the aisle. In a moment, we'll speak with Congressman Jim McDermott. I think it's fair to say he's from the liberal side of the issue.
Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
Well, we've got Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts putting pen to paper or fingers to keyboard, whatever it was, and wound up reframing the whole debate on the Health Care Reform Act and basically came out saying, you know, in terms of commerce, this wouldn't be constitutional, but in terms of increasing taxes on those who choose to go without insurance, totally within the prerogative and authority of Congress. So we have the Supreme Court upholding the health care law, not without a lot of discussion and not without any degree of controversy. And as we've heard from Congressman Dave Reichert, attempts will be made to do what the Supreme Court couldn't do by repealing the law, in the House. And we've got from the other side of the aisle, Congressman Jim McDermott joins us here this afternoon. How are you, Jim?
Good.
Hey, I got to give you props because I remember when we had a conversation about this a few months back, you were one of the few that I specifically recall raising the question of, this is a matter of taxation. So you're smarter than you look.
I'm glad that's true.
You know, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Dave Reichert. You do have a lot of controversy surrounding the mandate aspect of this healthcare law, but you do have other aspects of this law that are extremely popular. Mm-hmm. Can you throw out if the House is going to tackle this, what form is that attack going to take when it comes from the Republicans, do you think?
Well, they've already said they've scheduled a vote for the, I think it's the 11th of July, right? You know, right before we finish up and go back to run for re-election, they're going to do one more sweep and see if they can get us that time. It's a silly, childish. What reminds me of is guys who've played a baseball game and they lost. So they get down in the dugout and they start kicking the bat rack and kicking the bat boy around. I mean, it makes no sense at all. They have lost, and they ought to face up to it and get on with it.
Is there any way to go after the Health Care Reform Act just from the mandate aspect? Or can the whole thing, can you segment out portions of the law and try to go at it that way?
Well, they've tried that, Dave. They have tried in this last 2 years, they have tried, they did a full all-out assault on it at the beginning, and they failed at that. It went over to the Senate and died. So then they tried doing it piece by piece, and they have, you know, it keeps dying over in the Senate. And this is going to die in the Senate. It is simply not going to be repealed, but they won't accept no for an answer, so to speak. And, you know, I mean, they're entitled to play games, I guess, right up to the election. But I think the people are going to give them a rude shock.
How do you think this is going to play out in November?
Well, I think they misread the people. I think the people are grateful that we're going to get on with giving them health care protection. And I think that the people are going to say, what are you guys doing? You have no other plan except to say no. And that's not getting us anywhere. So I think the people are going to be glad that we keep working on it. And I think that in the end, they're going to be sorry that they spent their time wasted in this kind of activity. It's not going to win them the independent voters.
Does it reinvigorate the Tea Party?
Perhaps. I mean, you know, if I were them, I'd be worried about that, too. I mean, they're in a situation now where they have a whole lot of people saying, you know, what is your plan? And we haven't got any jobs because you said you were going to get elected and you'd get jobs. Well, you haven't done that. What are you doing? And the problem is that they spend so much time and effort on this thing that and it's now gone down in flames, and there they stand. And with nothing to say, well, this is why you should reelect me. Now, they can say, well, you should reelect me so I can finish the job of killing Obamacare. I guess that would be one way, I guess, they could, you know, try and salvage something out of this. But I don't think it's going to work.
Well, I got to tell you, like I said, I distinctly remember, you know, you must have put fresh batteries in your crystal ball that particular day, because you called it right. Congressman Jim McDermott, appreciate talking with you. It's good. Yep. Good to hear from you.
See you again.
All right, take care.
Bye.
I'm curious as to, I just want to tap the vein here, and I'll put out the question very quickly. Do you agree with the Supreme Court ruling on health care? 206-421-1000 is the local line. The toll-free number for you is 877-397-COMO. That's 877-397-5666. With everything that has transpired today, and I know that there were a lot of pundits who were totally expecting a different kind of ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court, but I'm very curious as to, with what we now know and what we will continue to learn, where do you stand with this? Do you think the Supreme Court got it right? Did they come out with the right thing? And because I'll tell you, I genuinely think that Roberts reframed the whole argument on this. When he took it out of the commerce and put it into the taxation, I think it was, I don't mean this in a denigrating way, it was a left-hand turn, pun included, all right? 206-421-1000, 877-397-COMO. Robin, up there on Queen Anne, what do you say?
Hi, Ken. This is Robin. Listen, do we really know what Obama is doing here and what this health care reform is about? Do you guys know that they are training the IRS with guns now so that people, if they can't afford to pay it,
they're going to shoot them?
They're going to shoot them.
Yeah, they're going to send the IRS. They're going to send out the IRS death squads, and they're just going to... they're going to put a bullet in everybody's uninsured head.
Well, those who can't afford it, it's $220. So a family of four for each person in the household is going to be $750 fine for each person. For a family of four, that's like $26,000 for the year.
Well, and it's, you know, it's cheaper to take care of them with a bullet. So I agree that, you know, Robin says we're arming the IRS agents, and what we'll do is we'll just line people up. You know, I think we'll take them down to Golden Gardens, and we can have mass executions down there for people who don't have health care insurance. Gabe in Tacoma, you're up on Newsline PM. Do you agree with what the Supreme Court did today?
I agree with everything except that they turned this around to call it a tax instead of a mandate just today, because, all like you said, all along Obama's been saying, no, it's not a tax. I just think that what's next? You know, what are they going to take away from us next? What are they going to force us to buy next?
Do you? The mandate seems to be the central point of contention. Are there other?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything in it as far as the pre-existing conditions and the kids going until they're 26. I agree with all that and everything except making us buy something we don't want. This is America. Where's our freedom?
See, and I thank you, Gabe, because I think Gabe, I think, reflects quite accurately, I think, the general opinion here. I'm going to try one more phone call. Ed, on a cell phone, you're up on Newsline PM.
Thanks, Jim.
Go ahead.
I definitely agree with the Supreme Court Justice. I'm surprised it was not unanimous. Here's the bottom line. The law was passed. Regardless of what's in it, everyone could have read it. It was passed. The Supreme Court's choice was to decline it as a valid law that was passed. It's done. You know, I mean, the only people that can recall it would be the United States population.
Well, I appreciate your call, but that is the function of the U.S. Supreme Court, is to review the constitutionality. I mean, that's not to say that everything that Congress does fits within the framework or interpretation of what the Constitution represents. Hang with us in a moment. We're going to talk with Governor Chris Gregoire. See what she thinks about all this.
Seattle's waking up to the Como Morning News 5 to 9. Right now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
You know, it cracked me up going through some of my email here. And I'll share this with you. This is an email ostensibly from Nancy Pelosi. Ken, wonderful news. The Supreme Court just affirmed our progress and protected the right to health care for all. The moment was only possible because you stood with us every step of the way. But our work is not done. There are reports that over $1 million have flowed into Mitt Romney and pro-repeal Republicans' campaign coffers since this morning's decision. Will you stand with us and commit to ensuring that health care reform is here to stay? Please donate $3 or more right now. In the same email box, although this one wasn't as personal, I didn't get a Dear Ken, but this is from the Tea Party. We are at a pivotal time in our nation's history, and we cannot afford to sit back. We must not only focus on electing fiscal conservatives committed to repealing Obamacare in our own communities, but we must work together to elect them across the nation. The real fight is in November at the ballot box. Please make a contribution of $25 or more. So the Democrats are trying to hit me up for $3, right? But the fiscal conservative Tea Party wants me to cough up $25, and both of them ask for more. Now, the Nancy Pelosi email. Thank you for the email, Nancy. I should email her back. Dear Nancy, thanks for your email. Haven't heard from you for a while, but it would probably, who knows where it would go. Anyway, so they say $3 or more. With the Tea Party, it says a contribution, and this is what it says right here. A contribution of $25, $50, $100, $250, $500, $1,000 or more. So I... I don't get this. Am I missing something when I get an email from the fiscal conservatives that want to slap me upside the head for a contribution of $1,000 or more, and I get a different – I get another email ostensibly from Nancy Pelosi who's asking me for a mere $3? We want your money. Joining us here on Newsline PM this afternoon, Governor Chris Gregoire. Hi, Governor.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm having more fun today than I probably deserve to have. So what's your take on all of this?
Well, I'm frankly delighted. I'm delighted for, you know, the young adults in our state that are on their parents' health care coverage and otherwise wouldn't have any. I'm delighted for about 60,000 of our seniors that are getting needed help for their ability to pay for prescriptions. I'm delighted for the future, 500,000 Washingtonians who are without health care insurance and in below 133% of poverty who will be eligible for Medicaid, and another 300,000 who are just above it but will be eligible to go on to the health exchange. So, Ken, Mike and I have just been through a very big, major healthcare crisis in our family when we were just shocked when we were told he had colon cancer. And it shocked the world of my family, our daughters and husband and me and my son-in-law. But I didn't have to worry about healthcare. And I, while in that hospital, sat there and thought about the people of our state who, if given this terrible diagnosis, what would they do if they had no health care insurance?
Having to confront not only the news of what is required to get your husband well, but what it could otherwise cost you if you didn't have that insurance.
Absolutely. Can you imagine the worry and the struggle and some people the bankruptcy that follows it? So today is a great day, in my opinion, for the people of our state who are going to be able to get much-needed help in health care insurance that, frankly, we tried to go it alone, as you remember, back in 1993 as a state. And without an individual mandate, it was a death spiral for us. And the court even referenced our brief that said that. So we needed national health care reform. The state can't go it alone. So I'm just really pleased today for the people of our state.
Do you think we're going to be able to financially keep up with the changes that are going to be coming with the expansion of Medicaid?
Well, you know, thank goodness, with it, initially for the first several years, it's all federal dollars, 100%. Then for the next couple of years, it's 95% federal dollars, and thereafter, 2020, and beyond, it's 90% federal dollars. So, you know, frankly, it's something we can't afford not to do. 500,000 people who today are using our emergency rooms for health care, which is passing the costs on to people like you and me who happen to have health care coverage. So it's going to be the best deal in town for our state. Now, I don't mean to say all this is going to be easy to implement, but thank goodness we've been charging ahead full steam, and we're probably better prepared and more advanced than almost any state in the country for full implementation in a timely way.
That's awesome. Governor Chris Gregoire, it is always so good to talk with you, and I appreciate you taking time on a busy day to spend a few moments here. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you,
take
Ken.
Care.
Bye.
All right. I'll tell you, you know, if you had, by the way, Fox News also screwed up this morning. It wasn't just CNN. More on this. Newsline PM continues here.
This is Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
You know, I think it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be a while before all of this shakes out, which seems kind of odd because the health care reform law, you know, has, what is it? It's you know, a year old at least, and we've read many of the provisions. But I am surprised at many of the things that I was unaware of. That, you know, as you read deeper into this 2,700-page synopsis, which I haven't done. I'm not going to pretend that I've read 2,700 pages of health care reform, but that was the law that passed. But as you know, as people who are more patient than I delve into this and start digging around and start looking for the minutiae, it is amazing in respect to what you find there. Doctors are now going to have to be more candid about the goodies they get, for example, from pharmaceutical companies. So if you go in there and you're looking for some kind of prescriptive relief to a medical condition that you have, you'll be able to inquire of that doctor whether or not the pills he's or she is pushing is based on, you know, what kind of relationship they have with a particular pharmaceutical company. So there's a lot of things in there. In a moment, we're going to talk with someone, the director of the State Healthcare Authority, and get more information on what this means right here in little old Washington State.